morning. We'll just pause and ask the Lord to direct us this morning. Father, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts for all that you've done for us. Father, we thank you for each one that comes to this church and the relationship that we have with one another. Father, we are indeed family. And we're brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love each other. And we pray, Father, as we open your word this morning, that it might be helpful to us, that we might understand it, and that we might be able to use it in our lives, that we might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for those who have been ill and those who have had problems. We'd ask, Father, that you would minister to them this morning in a very special way. And now we're just going to thank you for all that you've done for us through our Savior, in whose name that we pray. Amen. All right, we're in chapter 4 of the book of Malachi, the last chapter. It's a great chapter because it sets forth the promise that there is hope in the future. We're in chapter 4, verse 2, but just to drop back very quickly, beginning in chapter 3, verse 13, God was warning Israel of what was going to happen to them if they did not return to him. There was destruction ahead. There was judgment ahead. They were asking for judgment. They didn't think that they were subject to the judgment, but God's going to judge them too. But in the midst of the warning, which, by the way, I always see a warning as a part of God's grace on our behalf. He warns us because he's concerned for us. It's like a parent that would warn their children not to play in the street. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And it is on God's part, it is an act of grace to those who are not obeying his word. But we see God, we saw that God has a remnant. And that remnant is according to grace. If you turn over to Romans chapter 11 very quickly with me, I don't want to spend a lot of time. I don't even think I put it on the board, but I was thinking about it this morning in Romans 11. Remember Elijah, felt that he was all alone. There was no one with him. No one was standing with him. And you remember God's answer to him. He says this. He said, but what saith the response of the Lord when Elijah said, no, there's no one with me? And the Lord says, I have reserved, the word reserve meant kept. I've kept. I've set aside 7,000 for myself. These are for God and for him alone. So they're there, and he says they have not bowed the knee to Baal. In this time that Malachi is ministering to Israel, who has gone astray, they're not obeying the word, and God is indicting them. This is the sixth indictment against Israel. And yet there is a remnant. There is always a remnant. God always has a few, not many, but a few whom he is holding true to the word. Those that fear him, those who he has chosen and fear him, certainly will be blessed. We are looking at those blessings. He says in chapter beginning in chapter 3, verse 16, but look at verse 17. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, that is, those who fear him, as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then you will return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. God's going to bless that remnant. And that remnant is going to come someday. And we're in chapter 4, verse 2 of the book of Malachi. In 4:1, the proud and the wicked will be burned up. Malachi speaks of the blessings, then speaks of the blessings to those who fear him. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That time is coming. The reference to the Son of Righteousness is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ as he appears in that dark day of great judgment on the nations and upon those who do not fear him. But he will rise up and he'll have healings in his hands. There will come healing to the people. And ye shall go forth, he tells them. Actually, you will go out. You will go out, he says. The word healing, by the way, in that verse is marpe. It means medicine. There'll be medicine in his hands, or there'll be a cure in his hands, or there'll be a remedy, healing. Healing that comes to them, those who have been hurt, those who have been persecuted, there will come healing. And then he says, and you will go out of the land that God has given them. It is used of, this word going out is used of the nation being taken into captivity. When it says that they moved out of the land, they were taken out of the land in captivity. This same word is used. But when you turn to Psalm 144 with me, Psalm 144. In Psalm 144, you have a picture of those blessings that are going to come when the Son of Righteousness arises, when God's blessing in His presence will come to Israel. 144, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Stretch forth your hand from on high, rescue me and deliver me out of the great waters, out of the hand of the foreigners, those whose mouths speak deceit and whose right hand is at the right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God, upon the harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you, who give salvation to kings and rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak deceit and whose right hand is at the right hand of falsehood. Let our sons in their youth be as grown up plants, and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. Let our garners be filled, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and tens of thousands in our field, that our oxen may be strong to labor, and there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Let our cattle hear without mishap and bear without mishap and without loss. Let there be no outcry in our streets, outcry in our streets. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. There is coming a time of great blessing for Israel, and it will come upon those who fear him, upon the remnant, those whom God has chosen to set aside. See, there's going to be freedom. When he says, and you will go out, I want to mention that word go out. The word means to go out like in a captivity, but it also means to go out. And what he's saying is there's going to be freedom. Israel could not leave the land without fear of the enemy that surrounds the nation. In that day, when the Lord comes back and the Son of Righteousness arises, they'll be able to go out without fear. They can move about. They're not isolated as a little nation. They're going to be a great nation, and they'll have access to the world, and the world will have access to them. The Gentiles will come in to worship God. They will go out, and they will do what they want to do in the millennial kingdom. It's all speaking of the millennial kingdom. They will have freedom to come and to go without fear of any enemies. Now, the next statement. I don't know about you, but I have struggled for years to keep my weight down. Have you have any problem with that? It seems like the older I get, the harder it is to lose a few pounds. I lose a few, and then I put them back on. And it's interesting what he says in this particular verse. He says, note that last statement in verse 2. And you will go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. I told my wife this morning, I'm going to talk about, it's not a shame to be fat. In our society, everything's about being thin. You turn on the TV, I watch the news in the morning, and I like to watch Fox News. And forever they have this, I don't know what, the food channel or these foods that you can lose 5 pounds in 5 days. And you know, I lost 50 pounds, and I lost 200 pounds. And I'm thinking, God never intended us to be like that. Life is to be enjoyed, and it's all right to go on a diet, and it's all right that you want to feel good, and you want to feel good about yourself. But we have made it such a stigma in our society that you can't have any fat. I mean, you want to be slim and trim all the time, and you know that's virtually impossible for those of us who are getting older. It's tough, and it's not a shame. It's not something to be ashamed of. There are a number of translations of this word grow fat. I'll take you to them if you want to, but I'll just mention them to you. It's Naaman chapter 3, verse 18. There it's translated scattered. Scattered, to spread out, is the idea in that verse. In Habakkuk chapter 1, 8, it's called spread. Again, the same idea of spreading out, increasing, growing larger, is the idea. In this passage and in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 11, it's translated, grow fat. Let me read Jeremiah 50, 11 to you. It says, because you were glad, because you rejoiced, O you destroyers of my heritage, because you are grown fat as the heifer at the grass and bellow as bulls. It says, you've taken advantage of my people and you've grown fat. You've increased because of my people. Their prosperity. There was prosperity for the nations. And it was at the expense of Israel, God's heritage. So when he says we're going to go out and grow fat, he says, actually, those two go together. In other words, they will be like calves that have been penned up in stalls, and they've been fed in the stalls, and then all of a sudden they're released and they go out. And they're healthy and they're full of life and their spirit is freed. I mean, they'll go and jump around. You've seen them as they're released from the stall. They're free. They're satisfied. They're happy. Amos chapter 9 verses 13 to 15 says this: behold, the day comes, says the Lord, that the plowman will overtake the reaper and the threader. Of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains will drop sweet wine, and all the hills will melt, and I will go again, I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. And they will build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they will plant vineyards and drink the wine from it, and they will also make gardens and eat the fruit of. You remember, they were always in danger. They would plant the vineyards and they would plant their gardens, but they're always watching for the enemy to come in and steal their crops and overtake their cities. Now it's not going to be like that anymore. They will plant their vineyard and drink the wine. They will also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon the land, and they will be no more be pulled up out of the land which I have given them, says the Lord your God. The idea in this to grow fat and go out and just be free. And Israel is going to be free. The idea expressed is that those who fear the Lord, who fear His name, will be energized with the joy of freedom, completely satisfied and happy. It's going to be a wonderful time. When's school out? This week? Do you want to see someone who's happy and free? I want you to. Well, I don't know about high school kids; they're a little more sophisticated. But go over to the junior high school. And what time you leave? 3:15, and that bell rings, and those kids come out, and they're free. You know, I mean, it's like they've been in prison for the full year, and now they're released, and there's joy and happiness, and they're jumping around, and they're smiling, and they're hugging one another, and all these things. And I picture that Israel, free at last, satisfied, completely satisfied, happy. What a time it's going to be for Israel. Now, you understand, this is the entrance into the millennial kingdom. And this joy that's going to be theirs and the prosperity that will be theirs. And they will grow fat. That could express the prosperity of the land, but it's interesting how it's used in this particular verse. It will arise as the sun of righteousness arises and comes in the morning. Verse 3, unless you have some questions. Anybody have any questions? In verse 3, you will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, said the Lord of hosts. The subject you, again, in this verse, are those who fear the Lord. It's always those who fear the Lord. This is the remnant of Israel. This is the remnant. Will you turn to Matthew chapter 22 with me? I'm sorry, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I missed a verse here somewhere, but anyway, Oh, I have it a little bit later. I just have it out of order. Matthew 24, verse 22. Unless those days were shortened, and no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Judgment's coming on the world. The days are shortened. They're only going to be 7 years. It's going to stop at the end of 7 years. If it went any longer, even the elect would be taken. But God preserves the elect. And Matthew 24, 31 says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. The elect are those who fear him. And he's going to gather them from all over the world. He's going to bring them in the land. And he says, you will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. This literally happened in Joshua's day. You remember Joshua conquered the land and he tells his leaders, he said this, so it was that they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all, then Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of those kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. It was a sign of complete defeat by the enemy. Complete defeat. And God says they're going to be like dust under your feet. Dust under your feet. Joshua said to them, ending up this verse, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. That day is going to come for Israel. This will happen again. And the wicked, those who do not fear God, will be like ashes under the soles of the feet of Israel. At the time of Malachi's writing, and even in our day, it might look like evil is triumphing over good. I mean, you look around and you see all this evil, and you see those who are trying to live righteously, and it just seems like there's little happening. But in that wicked world, it's just exploding out there, and things are happening quickly, and it does look like evil is triumphing over good. Do you remember Paul Harvey? Some of you don't remember Paul Harvey. You younger ones don't remember Paul Harvey. But Paul Harvey always had a story at the end of his news forecast. And he would give you a little narration of something. And then he said, let me see if I can remember that. And he would say, and now for the rest of the story. Now for the rest of the story. The book of Revelation of Jesus Christ tells us the rest of the story. We see what's happening in the world, and we see what's happened to Israel, in particular for Israel. It doesn't look good. I mean, we look at this day, and this nation, even this America, has sort of pulled away from Israel, not blessing Israel anymore. And the result, of course, is we're suffering from it. But Israel sort of stands alone out there, and it seems like everything's coming in, and evil's triumphing over them. You know, we want to make a state of Palestine and take Israel out of the land and take them out of Jerusalem. But the rest of the story has not been told. And when you read the book of Revelation, you have the rest of the story. Revelation 19:15 says, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he will strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of fierceness and of wrath of the Almighty. There is that day coming, he tells us. Turn to your book of Isaiah, chapter 63 with me. Isaiah 63. Isaiah writes these words. Who is this? This is verse 1. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This one who is right, who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I've looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my fury has sustained me. And I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength in the earth. Do you remember Malachi chapter 2, verse 12? The people were saying, where is the God of justice? Where is this God who is going to judge the nations? Where is he? He's coming. He's coming. And when he does, it's not going to be a very pretty picture. We studied a little bit of Revelation of the judgments that are coming upon this world, and it is going to be horrible. It is going to be horrible. We don't want to be here, and we won't be here. But, boy, those who have to go through it, it's not going to be an easy situation. Not only will the nations be trodden down when he comes, of course, Israel will be judged also, but the wicked will be judged, and the leader of the wicked will be judged. Satan will be trodden down by God. He will be crushed under his feet. Romans 16:20 says this, and the Lord and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That day is coming. That day is coming. The ashes from the burning in Malachi, that they're going to, their feet will trod, and it'll be like when they step down, the ashes will sort of be like dust, and it will puff up around their feet. Those ashes come from the burning of Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, when the nations will be burnt. He says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yea, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming, we shall burn them up. The day is coming. And Israel will walk on the land, and there'll be no root left. There's nothing going to be left, not a branch. All the wicked will be consumed. Ashes are all that will be left of them, and it is easy to tread upon ashes. We don't do that much anymore. When I was growing up, we had people burn wood and coal, and you take those ashes out and you throw them on the ground, and if you stepped on them, you put your foot down, the dust would come up from them. But it's coming. It's coming. Now, when he talks about them being burned up, it's not complete annihilation. Don't misunderstand. There is an eternal judgment that's coming too, and they will stand before the great white throne judgment. But he's saying those nations will be destroyed, and they'll be wiped off the face of this earth, and there's nothing going to be left of them. They'll be cast into that bottomless pit to stand and wait for judgment. So, it's speaking of the finality of judgment. It's going to be complete. It's going to be complete. And this brings the conclusion. Remember their question? What do we gain by keeping the commandments of the Lord? This goes back to chapter 3, verse 14. What advantage is there of serving the Lord? I mean, we look at the wicked and they're prospering, and we here we are, we're trying to do the right thing, and we're suffering. God says, you wait. You wait. That was a cynical question. It was asked by the unfaithful. It was asked by those who do not fear the Lord. He said, it's going to come. You just listen to me. This is a complete victory over their enemies and the unbelievable blessings that are going to come upon the nation Israel beyond anything we can think of. They will prosper. Now, this will take place in the day, he says, in the day the kingdom is established. Now the purpose of this last oracle, the sixth oracle, was to call the people to repent and turn back to the Lord. And he reminds those who are wicked in the nation of Israel, look, those who fear the Lord will be blessed. And I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm giving you the opportunity. So it is a call. It's a warning. to those who do not fear the Lord. But it's also an encouragement for those who fear the Lord, because the blessings are going to come and they will be given liberty. They will be set free. Now that completes the sixth oracle. We're coming to the conclusion of the book of Malachi. There's just about three verses left, chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And they're interesting, and we will be looking at them. We'll complete it next week, probably. I hope we complete it next week. But the oracle is complete now, the sixth oracle. Israel has failed on every account, all six. They did not respond to God's love. They did not honor or respect God. They were not faithful to God's covenant, the covenant of marriage. They had no hope. They did not obey God. They did not fear God. And yet God had a remnant. But the nation as a whole failed on all six accounts that he brought up. It seems like that's a bad way to go out, isn't it? Boy, you talk about self-esteem. The last book of the Old Testament, and he just brings them down. You haven't done anything right. Well, there is a conclusion to all this, and that is he's saying, "Be prepared, because the Lord is coming." You be prepared, the Lord is coming. Following the end of the book of Malachi, God will become silent for 400 years. There's no more prophets. 400 years, absolutely nothing from God. He ends with this, and then absolute silence. Then there will arise another Zacharias. And he was serving in the temple, remember? And the angel Gabriel comes to him and announces the birth of John the Baptist. This is in Luke chapter 15. You don't have to look there, but you can look at that. You're familiar with it. The silence of 400 years will then be broken. And God leaves Israel with a reminder. This is the reminder. You haven't done what you're supposed to do. You haven't responded to my love. You haven't honored me. You haven't respected me. And he went down through all of these. And he reminds them that this is all wrapped up in the law of Moses. You've not kept the law. Now, during those 400 years, they'll still be under the Mosaic law. They're still under the law. They're not free. You and I are set free from the Mosaic law. We have no relationship with the Mosaic law. That was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But Israel's under the law. The Old Testament will remain the Word of God for them. There's no other revelation from God. Those 400 years are absolute silence. And then you hear the one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Malachi will exhort them to remember the law, which contained the conditions of the blessings for Israel. Let me read a couple of verses to you. We'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. I'll try to read these very quickly. He says, "Now it will come to pass," this is verse 1 of Deuteronomy 28, "if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations, and all the blessings that will come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed will you be in the city, blessed will you be in the country, blessed will be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed will be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed will be when you come in, and blessed will be you when you go out. And the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face, and you will come out again against you, and they will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command and the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all that which you set your hand, upon which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your Lord your God is giving you. And the Lord will establish you as a holy people to you, to himself, just as he has sworn to you. And if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his way, if you keep the, as he has sworn to you, if you keep your commandment, the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in them, then all the people of the earth will see you, see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body and in the increase of your livestock and the, and in the produce of your ground and in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. And the Lord will open to you his good treasures in the heavens to give you the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand and will lend to, and you will lend to many nations. You will not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be above all and not be beneath. If you heed, now listen, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to obey them or to observe them. And then in Deuteronomy 28:15, he says, but it will come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commandments of his statutes, which I command you today, and all these curses will come upon you. And then he enumerates those. And then in verse 45 of that same chapter, he says, moreover, all these curses will come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. This is all that God asked Israel. Keep my commandments. And I will pour my blessings out upon you. And yet they will not and they do not. God says that day is coming. There's going to be judgment. There's going to be judgment. Israel can't understand why they're not being blessed. Well, they're not being blessed because they're not doing the right thing. They're not keeping God's commandments. Now, I know you can't keep all the law. I understand that. It's impossible. But what God is looking for is people who fear him and fall on their knees and cry out for mercy. That's what happened to those who fear the Lord in Malachi chapter 4, chapter 3 and 4. They feared the Lord. They reverenced him. They respected him. They fell down before them and they cried for mercy. And God gave them mercy. God gave them blessings. And the blessings that they got are nothing compared to what's going to happen someday. What gain is there in serving the Lord? Keeping his ordinances? There's much. But they failed to do that. Well, we'll pick that up and finish up next week. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this time together. Thank you for your word. We thank you for the warnings that you gave to Israel. Thank you for the warnings that you give for us. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father, we struggle day by day, and we need to walk in the light of your word. So we thank you for that, and we thank you for all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way,